The Bible. The Bible. The Bible. It's the Word of God, living and active.
Sharper than any two-edged sword.
It contains all we need for life and godliness, and it reveals to us the mysteries of God. Join us for the next hour as we study the Bible and take your Bible questions. This is Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Welcome to Exploring the Word. Brett Harper, Alex McFarland with you today. We're hoping you're having a great day wherever you may be, in your car, in your office, in your kitchen, wherever you might be. But we're thankful that you would turn on those radios and listen to Exploring the Word. Alex, we had a great day yesterday with Derek Hayden, our guest. Guess what?
Did.
We have another guest today.
Well, I know this is great on a lot of levels, and I'm going to let you kind of cue it up. But coming into the show, folks, you heard an audio clip about The Greatest Journey. And this is a very exciting ministry. And, you know, one of the things that is the heartbeat of the American Family Association is the Great Commission. And to win the lost and equip disciples and get people into the Word of God. And we're just excited to hear about things that do that. And The Greatest Journey certainly does.
It does. And each year, we are privileged to participate with Samaritan's Purse, Operation Christmas Child, in a follow-up ministry to the shoebox that thousands, millions of people participate in. And it's a discipleship journey. And, you know, the Great Commission says, go and make disciples. So how important is follow-up? I cannot tell you. It on a radar, it's off of the screen is all I know. And
Amen.
So Operation Christmas Child knew that. They did something about that for the follow-up, and it is called The Greatest Journey. And we are trying to get people to give, to help children go through this 12-lesson Bible study. And those children that have received the Operation Christmas Child box, the shoebox, and then they come back and connected with churches, pastors, adult leaders, and they're able to take this journey. And for $6 per person, you're able to contribute and help this child grow in the Lord to become all that God would want them to do. For $60, it's 10 children. For $150, it's 25 children that are reached. And right now, because of a generous donor, we have a $50,000 match. So basically, when you give, you double that. And we're excited about that here at AFR. And so we want you to make that call now. You could quit listening to us and pick back up. That's how important this call is. It is 877-616-2396. Let me repeat that. Write it down. Put it in your phone. 877-616-2396. Or you can go online easy at afr.net, and make that contribution. So we want you to do that. But Alex, as I said, we have a guest here that works with Operation Christmas Child. Yulia, as best I can do it, man.
Good afternoon.
When you're from Northeast Mississippi and you have to pronounce some of the names, we struggle, and I'm one of them.
Well, I like the way you pronounce my name, so you did a great job.
Well, I tried real hard. I practiced before I came, and we're privileged to have you. We got to hear you this morning in devotion, and you've made your rounds. Have you kept up with how many programs you've shared yet? Have you kept up with, or have you run out of fingers?
I run out of fingers.
Okay. We work you while you're here, right?
No, utilize me to the max.
Amen.
For the sake of the gospel.
Well, I know you are a recipient of a shoebox. Okay?
That's right.
Tell us, capsule form, the opportunity you had that was given you.
Thank you. I was 9 years old when I received an Operation Christmas Child shoebox gift while living in a sensitive country in Central Asia. And, you know, I'm 25 years old now. And when I close my eyes, I can still go back to that day and just the excitement that I felt receiving the shoebox gift, opening and finding so many incredible gifts inside.
Wow. Alex, I know you have some questions for her. I want to ask her one and then you take it away. I know when they get the greatest journey after they do that, the one I have is in the English language. Is the greatest journey in the language of the or is it translated into that language?
Very good question. Yes, The Greatest Journey is translated in the languages where we conduct The Greatest Journey. So every time there is a Greatest Journey program, it is in the native language of those who are going through it.
They don't have to learn English to do that.
That's right.
Praise the Lord.
Currently, we are able to do The Greatest Journey in 98 countries around the world, which I want to take a moment to pause and celebrate that, because that's 98 countries that are being reached with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen. Alex, wow. Isn't that exciting?
That is so exciting. And hi, Alex McFarland here. And is it Yulia?
You did a great job, Alex. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. You know, yesterday I was at the Billy Graham Ministry, and we were getting a report about the different ministries, and one of which is Operation Christmas Child. And I was just hearing so many things. And I've known about the shoeboxes for many years, and it's been my joy to pack a number of shoeboxes. But we heard about The Greatest Journey, and I was just thinking about how this ministry succeeds on so many levels and all around the world, and people can really be a missionary from their own home.
That's
and
right.
Send the gospel. And so tell us The Greatest Journey, which is kind of the ripple effect of the shoeboxes. How long has this been around, and how many kids have been touched by this so far?
The Greatest Journey has officially been introduced in 2009, and actually since that time, we've had over 7.8 million children who have graduated The Greatest Journey, and over 5 million children who have committed their lives to Jesus Christ.
Let's repeat that. 5 million.
Over 5 million.
Over
yes.
5 million.
Wow.
Tell me something else that the church does together that's that effective. I've been in every kind of church, and Alex travels. He's in all kinds of denomination churches, sizes, all sizes. And I've yet to find one not to participate in Operation Christmas Child.
Yes, well, it's such an easy project to get involved in. And just from the statistics that we just shared, you see that the blessing of the Lord is upon it, because I don't believe we would have been growing in numbers if God wasn't present in it.
Amen.
And wasn't blessing it.
I agree.
Yes.
Let me ask this, and I found this to be, children who are, we ask about the language. How about children that can't read? I got a copy. There sure are some pretty pictures in there. Okay,
yes.
Is that a hint of why I
yes.
Done? Okay. I thought I picked up on that.
I could really tell you studied and got ready for the program. But yes, those children who do not know yet how to read or how to write, they're not excluded from participating in The Greatest Journey. And you rightly noted the booklets that they received, and that's actually one of the things that $6 donation covers, a booklet for the students. Is they are very colorful, and they're illustrated with pictures. So even those who don't know how to read and how to write, they too can go through the program. They too can remember stories based on what the teacher telling them, but also based on the illustrations that they see in their booklets.
Remember, Alex, a picture's worth 1,000 words. So
right.
there you go. The Greatest Journey takes up on that, brother. Go ahead.
Exactly. Let me ask you this. For churches and individuals, is there still time to get shoeboxes in and donations? And, you know, here tomorrow's going to be the very first of December. Is there still time to be involved in OCC 2017?
Very good question. Operation Christmas Child actually takes place all throughout the year. And even though we have wrapped up our 2017 National Collection Week, our listeners still have an opportunity to participate by packing a shoebox online or by donating $6 to send a child to go through The Greatest Journey.
Right now, that would be the deal.
Right now.
And let me do this again. Jim Stanley has taught me well. He says, give the number. That number is 877-616-2396. If you'd make this donation again, like I said, there's a challenge match on there. Basically, what you give would be doubled. $60 would be $120. $150 would be $300. Sounds like a good deal. Here's another question, and I wanted this one. The training that takes place for those that do the training to the children.
Yes.
How does that work?
Yes. Well, first of all the teachers are the nationals, and they live in the countries and they live in the communities where those children live, because we don't want to just come and tell them about Jesus and leave. We want for them to be discipled. We want for them to have a relationship, first of all, with Jesus Christ, but then also with those in their communities. And so we train local Christian teachers to conduct those lessons. And again, the $6 donation, it covers not only the student booklet, but it also provides a teacher with their own teacher's guide, where they have the outline for every lesson. And not only that, there are some additional resources that are provided for them. For example, ideas for activities, ideas for games, how to get children's attention before the class starts,
right,
but also how to make, for example, a memory verse memorable for them. And so there's just additional resources on top of providing the outline for each one of the 12 lessons.
Alex, I got to look at the teacher's guide, and I could even do this, you know.
Yes, and that's what I love about it. You don't have, by nature, I'm not a teacher. So
yeah.
I remember first time picking up a copy of The Greatest Journey and thinking, well, will I ever be able to teach something like this? And when I looked through the teacher's guide, I realized, wow, there are so many resources available for those, for even those who are not by nature teachers like
me. You
got
it. Yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm. Alex, one more thing I wanted to share, and that is the New Testament. The New Testament is colorful, the one that I have an example. And on the inside, you find illustrated pictures illustrating many of the biblical stories that are there. And it's the New Testament, but yet it goes back to God in creation. And it really, looking at this, I thought of this. It really sets up the New Testament. They have the Old Testament stories and those that would really set up the New Testament that
That's
is
right.
entirely printed.
Yes.
Well, that was great.
And the best part about that is when the children complete The Greatest Journey, they get a New Testament in their native language for them to keep.
Wow.
And for many of those children, that's the biggest treasure.
That is, yeah. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, folks, the number is 877-616-2396. Now listen to this, 877-616-2396, or you can donate online at afr.net. The Greatest Journey is a part of Operation Christmas Child, Samaritan's Purse. It's touching children around the world. It's not only helping kids find Jesus, it's giving them the basics of discipleship, walking in the gospel, following Jesus Christ. It's a 12-lesson Bible study that is in the native language of the child receiving it. And Yulia, I just want to say how we are thrilled at what God is doing through this, because, you know, the Bible says in Matthew 28:18-20, go into all the world and make disciples.
That's
Mark
right.
16:15, preach the gospel to every creature. And not all of us can get on a plane and go to the other side of the world, but through The Greatest Journey, in a way, we can.
That's right. And you know, sometimes, at least for me, I know, I think, well, a $6 donation can send one child through The Greatest Journey program. But honestly, we don't know how many children, how many people that donation will actually touch and reach, because we have stories. It started with one child going through The Greatest Journey, but it resulted in entire family being saved. It's just, we have stories upon stories of how that one $6 donation ended up reaching so many children. Well, God, I shouldn't say $6 donation reached children. God reached so many children.
Amen.
Through that donation.
Amen. Yulia, I want to thank you for being with us today. It's a joy to have you and to see what God has done. And one of these days, we were talking about it, we're going to be gathered around the throne of God from
Amen.
Every tribe, every nation, praising and saying, Alleluia.
That's yes,
one. Yes,
Alleluia.
We are. Amen. Alex, God, we're going to come back and we're going to look at one of the lessons in The Greatest Journey. I can't wait. And so stay tuned and you'll get more from American Family Radio.
Praise is a sign of revival. When we find ourselves in the midst of worshiping God, we are right where God wants us. It's an indicator that we have discovered that God is our creator and worthy of all praise, and that we are made to worship Him. In Psalm 79, verse 13, it says, "Then we, your people, the sheep of your pasture, will praise you forever. From generation to generation, we will proclaim your praise." One of the indicators of revival in our lives is that we delight in worshiping him, in praising his name, and we pass that on literally from generation to generation. Is worshiping God a mark of your life? My name is Dave Butts, president of Harvest Prayer Ministries for OneCry.com.
When we were in grade school, we had show and tell. But Dr. Tony Evans says that as adults, we settle for a lot more telling than showing. That creates a problem he'll talk about today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
If you want to be a great doctor, in addition to going to school, you need to follow around a great doctor. Because when it comes to folk lives, you don't just need book knowledge. You need somebody who knows what they're doing by experience. If you want to be a great teacher, you need to hang out with a great teacher. If you want to be a great engineer, hang out with a great engineer. If you want to be a great man, hang out with a great man. So that you can find manhood from somebody who's been a man, acted like a man, and is not a boy the size of a man. If you want to be a great woman, you need to hang out with a great woman, a woman who is the kind of woman that God wants a woman to be. In other words, hang out with what you want to be like. In other words, they're mentors for you in the area of your need. So watch this. If you want a double portion and you want to be a great Christian, you better hang out with somebody who has seen God for themselves, who knows what it is to experience God, who can't just quote you verses, who can't just talk to you about the Bible, but they have seen God. They have seen the supernatural. And that may be a person with no degree. That may be a dropout from school. That may be your grandmother or your grandfather who couldn't have the opportunity that you have, but they can tell you what the Lord can do. They can tell you what God is able to do. They can give you the experience of his reality.
Of course, Dr. Evans has some things he can teach you as well. Visit TonyEvans.org and check out two of his most popular books, Kingdom Man and Kingdom Woman. And be sure to join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Word of God speak.
Welcome back. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. All that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet, hear your voice, Word of God speak.
Amen. We pray that the Word of God would speak through the greatest journey to children in 98 countries. Alex, that's a long way. Do you know of anything that has grown as fast as Operation Christmas Child?
I really don't.
I don't either. I really can't think of anything that's just, it has an addition, it's multiplied.
Yeah, and you know, for those who may not be aware, in Charlotte, North Carolina, where I used to live, there is a great church called Calvary Church, and the pastor went to be with the Lord, I believe this year, Ross Rhodes. And Ross Rhodes was a colleague of Franklin Graham, and they were just as close as brothers. And Ross Rhodes was the pastor of Calvary Church years ago. And if I get any of this story wrong, folks, anybody that knows it better than I do, you can call in. But Franklin Graham was a part of a thing, I think it was called World Medical Mission. And a lot of what they still do, I mean, they would get medical equipment to far-flung parts of the world, and they would, you know, build hospitals. There was a man that I knew, Bert, pretty well, named Dr. Bob Foster. And he, some of you might have read his missionary biography, Sword and Scalpel. They would build hospitals. And Dr. Bob, as we called him, helped, you know, put medical needs and hospitals and medicine in parts of the world. Well, World Medical Mission was kind of, you know, struggling along. And I don't know, maybe this is 25, 30 years ago, but Franklin Graham had this idea for a shoebox, and he got with Pastor Ross Rhodes, one church. He said, look, let's get some, you know, like a washcloth and some basic needs and a little toy, and we'll put the gospel in it. And maybe you can get your church to come up with a couple of hundred boxes. And I think Calvary Church, Pastor Ross Rhodes and them did, I don't know, 2,000 or 3,000. I mean, it was just...
It was amazing, yes.
Day one. And it's just become a ministry that is recognized the world over. I was in Africa. I mean, I was deep in the far-flung recesses of Africa a few years ago and saw one of the stickers of Operation Christmas Child. And it really is one of the most recognizable activities in the whole wide world. And it's pretty young. I mean, I haven't been around too
long. It has not, and it is. And 98 countries and the greatest journey. Let me share a little bit about the greatest journey. It's 12 lessons. And let me share with you one or three or four of the lessons. And we're going to concentrate on one today and stick to our Bible study that we do on exploring the Word. But it starts out with a great creator. And then it goes to the greatest problem, which is sin. So God created man, but sin came in. And then the third one is the great Savior. What a way to start off. The great creator, the greatest problem, the great Savior. And it goes through and it ends in the chapters, lesson 11 and 12, is love others and then tell others. So it's discipleship all the way to the point of sharing the gospel. And so when you give that $6, you really are making a difference. And I would love our people who listen to Exploring the Word to make those phones ring at those phone numbers that we gave you, because I just want to tell you it's a joy beyond measure. And so we want you to do that. And I got this number right here. I'm having to dig through my paper to make sure I got it. Here it is, 877-616-2396. Or you can go online at AFR.net. Well, Alex, let's do a lesson out of The Greatest Journey. And the one that I thought would be good for our listeners today is found in Luke, the book of Luke. And it's just a joy. The title of it is Stay Close to Jesus. Now, after you come to Jesus, how close do you want to be with him? As close as you can, right?
Absolutely. As close as we can. You know, throughout the Gospels, I mean, we see Peter, James, and John and others who wanted to be close to Jesus. And it's our privilege to do that to this day.
It is. And the scripture that they use is in Luke chapter 10, and I want to read verses 38 to 42. It'll be familiar, and I know it'll be a blessing to you. Now it happened, as they went, that he, Jesus, entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, do you not care? My sister has left me to serve alone. Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to Martha, he said, Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things, but one thing is needed. And Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. Alex, this is a well-known passage of scriptures, and praise the Lord's for Marthas that serve. But I want to tell you, Mary knew that Jesus wasn't there long, and she wanted to get every word. She didn't want to miss a word that Jesus said, did she?
No, and you know, I think about how Jesus said, search the scriptures for they testify of me. I mean, really, I just don't think you can become everything God intends you to be as a believer if you don't become a student of the word. You know, Jerome, we've quoted this before, but early in the church, 1,600 years ago, he said that knowledge of the scriptures is knowledge of Christ. And so if you want to grow in Jesus, you're going to need to get into his word.
Notice the terminology here. Martha welcomed him into her house. The word welcomed is received completely. It's not with the word comes across in Greek without reservation. You know,
right?
She welcomed Jesus. She greeted him. She received him completely. That says something about her salvation, isn't it? I mean, when I saved as a 12-year-old boy, I didn't know a whole lot about the Christian life, but I knew I was a sinner, and I knew Jesus had died on the cross. And as much as I knew of Christ, I wanted every bit of that into my life. You don't get saved with reservations, do you?
I know. And again, folks, Christianity is not, you know, getting just enough of the Lord to keep you out of hell, but not so much that he interferes with your day-to-day life. It's not that at all. It is a relationship. And the good news is we can have as much of Jesus as we want in our life. Bert, I'm convicted about how much more I could have prayed and could be praying right now. I think about how much time and, frankly, mental energy I've wasted, you know, on mindless things when I could have been feeding on the eternal truth of God's Word. And really, the growth of our soul and our heart and our character and our Christ-likeness, it runs on a fuel called Scripture. The engine runs on a gasoline called Scripture. And so as we get into the Word of God, we're going to grow in the Son of God.
And she had a sister named Mary, and how significant is, and we want to talk about, she sat at the feet of Jesus and heard his word. Here's Alex. I see attentiveness there. I see an attraction there. You could go on and on because you see those things just in those words. But she sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. I'm trying to, in the booklet, The Greatest Journey, it has one of the illustration pictures is her seated at the feet of Jesus, and it has her just looking up. You could tell by the illustrator, she is just hanging on every word. Have you noticed that with new believers especially, and they first get into the Word? Man, it's like they're a magnet. They want to pick up everything, and that's why it's so important to get started right, and that's why The Greatest Journey is so important in the hands of these people who are going to share it with the children, and the children are going to get this booklet and a New Testament when they complete it. And so we can sit at the feet of Jesus because we have the Bible and the Holy Spirit today, can't we?
Well, we really can. And you know what? You talked about the zeal of a brand new believer and, you know, how they want to hang on every word and they want to copiously follow the Lord. We ought never lose that. You know, we should never lose that. Amen. I remember I had some, do you remember cassette tapes way back
when? Guess what? I read an article that they're making a comeback.
Really?
Yeah. And they say the cassette tapes has some value that CDs and DVDs don't have. So anyway, that's an article, but you know how that can be. That could be old news. But I think
it was a long time ago
yeah.
when cassettes were new. And I had some Christian teaching tapes, and a friend of mine in seminary wanted to listen to them. And I said, well, hey, I'll make you a copy of them. I've got a way I can hook two stereos together. I'll just, you know, burn you off a copy. He looked at me, he said, that would be stealing. It says, do not duplicate or copy. And the Word of God says, thou shalt not steal. No. And you know, I felt convicted. I said, wow, yeah, of course. Yeah, you're right. I mean, what was
Got
I thinking?
It. Amen.
But it was convicting. But he was a new believer, and he was just so copiously wanting to follow the Lord that the idea of even copying off a cassette, you know, he wasn't going to do that. And I was convicted because I thought, you know, he's right.
He's right.
That wouldn't be right. My point is this. If you want to stay close to the Lord, you got to stay close to the Word. And I love in that Luke 10:39, where, you know, Mary sat down at the feet of the Lord. And that's always in the presence of the Lord. That's where we're to remain.
Amen. We don't want to spend a lot of time talking about Martha. I believe she was fulfilling her, you know, her giftedness, but she had some misplaced priorities at that point in time. You remember what it says in Ecclesiastes, there's a time for everything, there's a time to serve, and there's a time to sit at Jesus' feet and listen. And what Jesus is saying, Martha, Martha, you don't know what time you have. I'm here now. You better make time for me at this point in time. And So don't get too harsh on Martha if you're out there listening. And there's a time for all of that, but Mary has chosen the best thing. Let's look at that. It says, you're worried and troubled about many things. I think Jesus said, Martha, don't worry about, I know you welcomed me into your home and you have the gift of hospitality. You have the gift of service. And I think Jesus appreciated that, but he is saying, right now, no. Right now, there's something better. And so he says, one thing is needed at this point in time, and Mary has chosen that. Alex, our lives are that way. You know, there's times in our life when we have to give ourselves to certain things, serving. But the Bible says, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might. And Jesus saying, right now is a time for you to learn and listen. You better do it, and you better do it now.
That's right.
Is that the context that you understand here with Mary and Martha?
Well, yeah, and it reminds me of, you know, in the book of Revelation, the church at Laodicea that was reprimanded for being lukewarm. You know, when the Word of God says what your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, it doesn't mean just whatever, anything goes, but where your areas of strength and interest are. You know, friend, let me just say this. That thing that you can do consistently with excellence and, you know, almost effortlessly, that's called your gift. And all Christians have spiritual gifts, and we've talked about that at length on the show, and we've gone over passages where the spiritual gifts are delineated. But the thing is, don't be lukewarm. Invest yourself in that thing that will energize you and fill you and will count for eternity, will honor the Lord, further His commission, edify the body. And that thing that your hand finds to do, you've got to be who you are. I can't be a Bert Harper because the world has a Bert Harper and a real, real good one. And, you know, I had a minister tell me, Bert, early in my Christian life, said, don't try to be a Billy Graham because the world would miss out on an Alex McFarland.
Amen.
And don't try to be, Amen. You know, we have our heroes, but you have to be the person that God made you to be. And God made you to become something wonderful
Amen.
In Him. And we don't approach that with lukewarmness or mediocrity. We really need to approach that with absolute commitment.
One more thing before we go to the break, and it's found in verse 42. That which will not be taken away from her, the Word of God is settled in heaven. The Word of God is eternal. The Word of God placed in our hearts will do a work that nothing else can do. The Bible talks about that, Alex, that the Word of God goes forth and it can separate the soul and the spirit. There's nothing else. They're so intertwined, the soul and the spirit, and people have a hard time distinguishing, and I understand that, but the Word of
Sure.
God will speak to our hearts in such a way that it just penetrates and goes to the very heart of the issue. It will not be taken away. How important is having God's Word, not just listening to it on Sunday, but meditating it on day and night, every day, feasting upon God's Word? He's really putting an emphasis on what Mary is doing, and that is with taking in the Word of God, isn't he?
That's true. And let me say, sometimes we use the phrase apologetics, which is not apologizing, but it's defending the faith. It's the evidence for the faith. And, you know, when it comes to the reasons that we trust that the Bible is indeed the Word of God, I mean, there are a lot of things. There's history and archaeology. There's fulfilled prophecy. But there's also the Bible's amazing life-changing power. Mm-hmm. I mean, the Word of God has made, you know, honest people out of liars and has made selfless people out of people that formerly might have been selfish and righteous people out of people that had been ungodly. Part of the self-authenticating nature of the Bible is it changes our lives.
Amen. And it would change Mary, and her life would never be the same. 888-589-8840. Give us a call. We'd love to hear your question today on Exploring the Word.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Corner. No one likes to suffer difficult circumstances. In this era of easy believism, it's often conveyed, if life isn't always smooth, we're doing something wrong. The scripture teaches us, however, that our Lord often meets fruitful branches with additional pruning. The pruning is not punishment. It's actually to make us even more fruitful. If you're in a rough spot right now, take heart. What may feel like the squeeze to end all squeezes could very well be the Lord's pruning for additional fruitfulness. When the Lord prunes us, He does so for our good.
Visit the Hamilton Corner on the podcast page at AFR.net. For more from Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
Thanks a lot, Mr. Johnson. Merry Xmas.
Merry Xmas? Well, I guess that's one step up from Happy Holidays, but I think what you mean is Merry Christmas.
This year, let's help keep Christ in Christmas with the American Family Association Keep Christ in Christmas wristband. It's a fun, inexpensive way to remind friends, family, and even strangers that without Christ, there would be no Christmas. You can order AFA Keep Christ in Christmas wristbands in sets of 10 at afa.net.
Friendships is an all-volunteer ministry, helping the needy in the U.S. and abroad. There's an opportunity for you to care for Syrian war victims at Friendships Medical Field Clinic and Base in the Golan Heights. Among the positions available are doctors, nurses, dentists, interpreters, as well as personnel for operating the facility. For details, visit friendships.org or call 337-433-5022. Again, 337-433-5022.
Here for your encouragement and your walk with God. This is David Wolin with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. For many of us, holidays mean company. It does in our house. And every year, it's the same chaos before they arrive. Dusting, scrubbing, vacuuming, frantically throwing things into closets. Don't judge, we all do that. But the thing is, sometimes we think we have to do the same thing for God. We're embarrassed to think of God entering the messiness of our lives, but that's the problem, because it's impossible to clean up your life for Jesus. That's something only Jesus can do for you. You have to let Him in, just as you are, mess and all. In fact, 2,000 years ago, Jesus did exactly that. He entered into the mess of humanity. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Check out Anchor Devotional today. Just visit getanchor.com.
Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Connect with Alex and Bert on the Exploring the Word Facebook page, facebook.com/exploringtheword, or email word@afr.net.
Brent usually saves that for the last segment in case someone's getting a little sluggish. That song ought to get them ready to go, so we appreciate that. Well, we've got people online. Alex, you ready for some questions?
Let's do it. And the last broadcast of the month of November,
you're
folks,
right.
Get ready. Tomorrow is December 1. We're going to do Fire Away Friday and get to a lot of questions, and it's going to be all Christmas all the time as far as I'm concerned.
Amen. Starting in December. Hey, tell everybody what we're going to do starting Monday. You and I had that good conversation. We're going to do something that we really haven't done completely before.
This is going to be great, folks. And so you can get a jump start and read ahead. It's called the Miniature Bible. It's one of the longer books of the Old Testament. Jesus is all in it. But Monday will begin, and we've never done it before, really, the way we're going to do it this time. We're going to go through the book of Isaiah. One of the most beloved Old Testament books, the book of Isaiah, and you can start with us on Monday.
We are. Before, how we did it, Psalms and Isaiah, was we selected different ones, chapters of different kinds and purposes. But this time, we're going through all 66 chapters, and so it's going to be a long journey. So we hope you'll settle down and go with us, and we're looking forward to it. I really am looking forward to it as well. Alex and I, not only we quote the teachers, but we're the students when we go through these as well, because God demonstrates His grace on us, and we see things that, I didn't see that before, and that's still fresh on my heart, Alex, when I see something that just, you know, the Holy Spirit brings it to light. And so anyway, we're looking forward to it. Let's go to the phone lines, and we go to Texas and talk to Robert. Robert, welcome.
Hey, how you guys doing today? Merry Christmas.
Amen. Merry Christmas. Praise the Lord, brother. Yes.
We were talking about the young Christian with the cassette tapes that struck a chord with me. When I got saved, I was, I was just eyeball deep in a lot of bad things. And I went through this cleaning process. I look back now on it, and it seems that it was a bit extreme. But I believe that basically, if it had anything to do with my past life, I pretty much dumped it into the trash can. From music CDs to movies that even weren't that bad, I just felt like I needed to kind of go through this cleansing process to get a fresh start.
Amen,
and I,
Robert.
You know, I think back on that, and I think that I think the Lord was honored in that, because my heart truly was in the right spot, that I wanted to remove anything that could have associated me with my past life.
Amen, Robert. What a testimony. Alex, I've heard this. Said, well, they're a brand new Christian. They'll get over it. You pray they don't get over it. And I want to give an example, Alex, and then you take it away. Paul, after he had met the Lord on the road to Damascus, yes, he spent some time in Jerusalem, but from there he went to Arabia in 3 years. We don't know everything that took place down there, but he was taught of the Lord. We know that. We don't know all how that took place. That's one of the things in heaven I hope to find out a little bit about. It's one of the questions I've always asked, and yeah. How did that work? But there should be, I think, a little, and I'm going to use the word extreme separation early. I don't think I'm going to apologize for those words. Extreme separation from the world at that point in time as a new Christian, because you don't want to fall back into those old habits and old traps, do you?
You really don't. I mean, you need to make a clean break of the things that you've repented from. I mean, you know, in a general sense, we all repent from sin. We turn from sin to Christ, and that's repentance. But for many, many, many a new believer, I mean, there's definitely patterns of lifestyle that you need to break from. And you don't negotiate with sin. You turn from it. You know, I think about Joseph and Potiphar's wife. You know, he let his coat get ripped, and he ran out of the room rather than fall into sin with the wife of Potiphar.
Hey, I want to interrupt you. It'd been a lot of folks that's been in the news lately. If they'd have done that, they'd be better off today, wouldn't they?
Let me tell you.
Let's not go all there the way, but I just couldn't pass
exactly.
That up. Isn't that true? Joseph set a great pattern, didn't he?
Yeah, all of the high-profile figures that are falling like dominoes because of moral issues and sexual sin, they need to remember that the old admonition that we are not to be in the business of sin management, but of repentance.
Amen. Amen.
And I've said this before, but a man asked me about this yesterday. I was talking with a fella and counseling with a person. But, you know, Hebrews 12 talks about the sin which so easily besets us. And the thing that is a temptation to one person might not at all be a temptation to you. On the other hand, maybe you've got something that is really a struggling point. And just break away. You know, you can't dance with a rattlesnake.
Flee.
Exactly.
It doesn't say negotiate. It says flee. Robert, brother, I think you were right on, and I'm thankful that you reminded us of that. And Alex's illustration about the cassette tapes reminded of us that today. And we don't need to lose that in our life. We don't need to lose the desire to be like Jesus. And so
yeah.
I appreciate that, brother. Lord bless you. Let's go to Virginia and talk to Suzanne. Suzanne, welcome.
Well, thank you. It's a great privilege to be with you, gentlemen. Thank you for your ministry. And I've got two quick things. One is that keeping the word in your heart. When I was a teenager, many moons ago, I was a Bible quizzer with Youth for Christ. If you all know anything about that, we studied the Bible, certain passages, and actually had to jump off of electronic cushions to see who was first. But now I happen to be blind because of a cancer problem in my head, but I'm an 18-year survivor. And so the word hid in my heart is still there, and praise God, I can glorify His name with that word.
Amen.
Secondly, the thing yesterday y'all talked about a ritual. And yes, the rituals are important as long as they stay rituals and don't become rituals. Too often we get stuck in a rut and we just forget what they all mean.
Amen.
And when I grew up as a Christian in Hampton Christian Church, we had communion every Sunday. And then I met this Baptist man and became a Baptist preacher's wife. Needless to say, we don't.
Bless your heart. Is that a prayer request, Suzanne?
But anyway.
Amen. You've blessed me. Ritual. Can I use that? I'll give you credit, Suzanne. Don't let your rituals become rituals. That is, Alex, that just. It stems my heart chords, brother.
I don't know if that one is original with you or not, but I want to tell you, that's priceless.
It is.
A ritual, that's right. Because we're not called to ritual, but reality. And not religion, but relationship. And it really, you know, folks, if you've never been born again, and, you know, church is just this two-hour thing of something you got to sit there and endure. Listen, it's not any of that. It's a living, absolute reality, a dynamic relationship. There's an old song, Bert, I just happened to think of this old song. I've got a gospel album of Johnny Cash singing this song. I was there when it happened, so I guess I ought to know.
Amen.
Do you remember that old song?
Yes, I do. I hadn't thought about that one in ages.
And the thing is, look, here's the gospel, that we admit we're a sinner. Lord, I admit I'm a sinner. I deserve punishment. I'm a guilty sinner, and I'm sorry, but I'm willing to turn to you. And I believe in who Christ is and what Christ did. Okay,
Amen.
Who is He? The Son of God. What did He do? He went to the cross, and the punishment that we deserve was put on Jesus. And you can say, Lord, please forgive me. Please save me. And you'll be born again, born spiritually. Now, everybody was born physically, you know, because here you are. I don't know when your birthday was, but you were born. But to go to heaven and to have God in your life now and walk with Him and have His help and His strength and the peace and the joy and the endurance and His sustenance through every day, you've got to be born a second time, born again. That's in places like John chapter 3. And friend, if you've never experienced the new birth, I mean, we could talk about it all day long and it still would be foreign. What you need to do right now, and the Spirit of God just drawing you and you feel it like a magnet, something God is pulling you toward Himself, just pray. Bert, do this if you would. Lead in a prayer for the person listening, and this is their day. Friend, this is your time. And God is making Himself known to you. You can be born again, and you'll know what we're talking about. Bert, why don't you lead in a prayer?
And it is in your heart. It means it's not the words. God looks at your heart, and you really mean it with all your life. Father, I know that I'm a sinner, that there's nothing in me that would make me right with You. And Father, I admit that today. And matter of fact, Father, I turn away from that. I don't want to go my way. I want Your way. I want Your will done in my life. I know that Jesus took my place on the cross. And Father, that He who knew no sin became sin. And Father, today I receive Him into my life. I want Him to be Lord of my life and rule in my life, that He would have His way, not my way, but Your way. Father, I receive Christ today, and I thank You for Him coming in and being Lord of my life, and I'm ready to serve You the rest of my life because You've given me this new life. In Jesus' name, amen. I pray that there's been someone out there that just, that was their heart, that was their prayer, and they meant it with every fiber of their being. And we'd love to hear from you if that's so. You could call and leave word and say, hey, Alex, Bert, we prayed and we ask Christ into our life. I just want to thank Suzanne for calling. Suzanne, I'm just asking, call us back sometime. That was a joy. If you got any more of those comments like ritual in place of ritual, I wrote it down, Alex.
That's good.
It is. Okay. Thank you again. Let's go to Texas and talk to Bobby. Bobby, welcome.
Hey, Bert and Alex. Love you guys.
Hey, man.
Great. Something's going on with your end, Alex. You keep fading in and out on me.
Go ahead, Bobby.
Yes, my question is in 1 Kings chapter 22, and I believe it's verses about 20 through 23, where the 400 prophets come together, and then the Lord sent a lying spirit to these prophets to lie to the king to get them. That lying spirit, is that a demonic spirit that the Lord allowed?
Okay. That you're right, Bobby. That's, and matter of fact, I got this one marked, Alex, when we were going through 1 Kings. We marked this verse 23. Bobby, we were discussing that in very heavy terms. Alex, sometimes the Lord pulls back and lets these spirits come in a sense he's sending it, but by him pulling back, it's kind of like judgment. Let me give you my thing. Like the judgment that can come over somebody, he has protection. But if he pulls back that protection, guess what? The judgment does come in. You catch what I'm saying? Same thing is true with lying spirits, doesn't it?
Exactly. I mean, God allows, we know by the whole panorama of Scripture that God can't sin, God won't lie. But God, if we're bent on turning from Him, following our own path, God might allow us to experience some of the fruit of our own hand. I've always loved verse 14 because, you know, basically, the king said, is there not another prophet who we can inquire of? And he says, you know, there is one more, but I hate him. This is verse 8. The king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat, there's one more, but I hate him because he never prophesies anything good, always bad. He's Micaiah. And in verse 14, Micaiah says, as surely as the Lord lives, that which the Lord tells me, I will speak.
Amen.
And so, look, even though there was a room full of liars, essentially, false prophets, there was one person who was going to speak the truth. You know, even as God might allow us to fall into the ditch, He's always going to make a way of escape. There's always going to be a Micaiah of truth in a world full of false witnesses.
And we need to pray that we'd be that, Alex, as preachers, teachers. Make that part of our prayer. We're going to try to get in one more caller today. Got to be quick. Jason from Tennessee. Jason, welcome. Got to be quick. Go ahead, brother.
Yes, sir, Brother Bert. I just had a quick question about at the end times when it talks about the very elite will fail. Is that what we're seeing now as an elite profile, or does that talk about elite gospel people or preachers or ministers? That's all I had.
Okay, thank you. Alex, that's in your area. Your eschatology is much stronger than mine. Go ahead, brother.
Well, you know, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, it talks about a falling away, you know, and it talks also about, you know, in the latter days, many will deny the faith. There'll be deceit, false teachers, so as to deceive even the elect, if that were possible. I think the fact that it says, if it were possible, means that a truly born-again person won't be lost. But they're going to be people that have had those outward rituals and just they've gone through the motions, but they didn't really have Jesus Christ in their heart. And that's a very vulnerable place to be, folks. Make sure that.
Amen.
Don't
be a
poser. The
way to get ready for the future is be ready today, isn't it, Alex? Don't wait until tomorrow. Be ready today. And that's what we're talking about, the rituals. We're talking about the Word of God. Let the Word of God through Jesus Christ come into your heart, change your life. And then like the lesson says in The Greatest Journey, it says, stay close to Jesus. We'd love for you to call 877-616-2396. Make that contribution to The Greatest Journey. Do that today. Alex, it's been good. Tomorrow's going to be Fire Away Friday. You ready?
And let's do it. I was glad to hear about The Greatest Journey today. And
Amen.
We're going to continue tomorrow.
We will. See you tomorrow.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.